Is it possible to see God? And if so, what do you have to do to see Him? That's what we're going to discuss on this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in today. We're currently in a series on the biblical book of 1 John. It's a little book in the New Testament, but it has big implications. Today's program is titled Seeing God Through Love. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead us off in this discussion. So here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're continuing our series going through the epistles of John, and we're in 1 John. If you want to hear the other episodes in the series, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or at our website, faithalone.org/radio. Well, we're in chapter 4, verse 12 in 1 John, and this, of course, is all about how to live this deeper Christian life. After you've been born again, God wants you to grow in the faith. He wants you to be in fellowship with Him. He wants you to know Him. That's a kind of an intimacy term. He wants you to really know Him. And 1 John is all about how that is possible. So let me start with verse 12, and it says this: No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Okay, now, first of all, when he says no one has seen God at any time, he means God the Father.
Right.
Right, because Jesus is God, and people saw Jesus.
And we see that in John 1:18.
Right.
No one has seen God at any time, but the Father is manifested in the only begotten Son.
Right. And people saw the Holy Spirit too, right? Descending as a dove, descending as flames of fire. So this is God the Father that we're talking about. And Jesus reveals the Father to us. And that's a big theme in John's gospel, John's writing.
Right.
So why do you think he starts off here by saying no one has seen God at any time? Kind of seems like out of left field. Or is he about to make a point?
No, I think the heading here in my Bible says seeing God through love. And I think the point here, which is sometimes missed, is that when you're in a loving church, you're in a church where people are manifesting the love of God to one another, you're seeing God in the life of your church. That may sound heretical, but that's what John is saying. We see God to the degree we see His love manifested among us.
Right. And I think probably what he means is something like we're seeing His character. He's not talking about appearance. We're seeing His character at work in this community of faith.
Well, right. Obviously, we're not literally seeing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We're not literally seeing God the Father, who can't be seen anyway. Mm-hmm. But the point is, we are seeing the character of God. And when you see the character of God manifested, well, then you're seeing a glimpse of God. That's why when Philip says in John 14 that he'd like to see the Father, Jesus is like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right. So he continues in verse 12, if we love one another. I just find it interesting that it's an if.
Right. It's not an automatic.
Right.
All through here, and he's writing to mature believers, but he's calling them to continue to be loving believers. And, you know, one of the things as we grow in the Christian life, we should become more loving, but we need to realize that as we age and as we get older, sometimes these things are more difficult. I mean, you might think, well, an 80 or 90-year-old Christian's going to find it easier to love others. Well, they maybe not.
Right. They might have a lifetime of experience of being hurt by people. In order to love someone, you kind of have to risk some things. You have to risk being open. And if you've been hurt by people for decades and decades and decades, you might be less likely to love. You might be more prejudiced or more closed or more just suspicious.
Well, there's that. Plus, there's also the fact that you go through pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, Sharon, right now is going through chemo. It's difficult to be loving while you're going through physical hardship.
Right.
Now, my Sharon, she does it real well because she's very upbeat and very loving and caring. And even if she's going through this hard time, she's more loving in many ways.
But you would be really crabby.
I would be bad Bob, I guarantee you.
You'd be like a porcupine, very thorny, hard to be around.
I would literally have to be praying a lot about it because I would tend to be prickly, like you're saying. And so that would have to be something God would give me the grace to show love, even though I was suffering. In my own life, I've been very fortunate to have reasonably good health. But if that occurs, I know 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will give me the grace to handle what he brings in my life.
Right. Well, he continues, so if we love one another, so that's the condition, and the result is this, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. This is very interesting because John has been talking about us abiding in God, but now it's the reverse. Now the focus is God in us.
You know, John's being a bit mystical in the way he's discussing this, but the point is, and Jesus said the same thing. He talked about abiding in him and he in us. The point is that as we abide in Christ, that is, we remain in Christ in terms of our faith and in terms of our love, then he is active, experientially active, through the Holy Spirit in our lives. When it says his love is perfected in us, the word perfected means completed or matured.
Right.
So that we're experiencing a sort of a fullness of Christ as we become more and more loving.
And that's a big theme also in the Epistle of James.
Right.
You know, and we've kind of talked a little bit about some of the parallels between John and James in previous episode. And I think here's another one. The goal of being perfected, being mature. You know,
right.
That's the whole point of the Christian life.
Right.
All right. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him. So now he's talking about us abiding in him again.
And he in us.
And he in us.
The other part, yeah.
Because he has given us of his Spirit. Okay, that's very interesting. So now here's the Spirit again.
Right, and I think what he's suggesting is, and this too is a bit mystical, we can see the work of the Spirit in our lives as God abiding in us and us in him as we are loving.
Right.
And so it's not like somehow love just pops up and happens and we have nothing to do with it. But on the other hand, as we sit under the clear teaching of God's Word, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, over time, we're transformed. Romans 12, 2,
right?
Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when that occurs, we become more loving.
Right.
And it's not like all of a sudden we go from somebody that's not loving very much to suddenly his love is matured in us. It's a process over time that we become more and more loving. Within that process, we see the Holy Spirit's work in us, his abiding in us, as we see this love manifested.
Right. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And that kind of reminds me of the opening verses of this epistle.
Right. And this is a bit puzzling because it sounds kind of odd. How in the world, and by the way, this is the only place in 1 John where he uses the word Savior. He says, we have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. That seems kind of bizarre. I mean, it sounds like it's out of left field. But here's what Zane Hodges says in his commentary.
Yeah, when you say it's bizarre, you mean it seems like an out-of-context comment.
It doesn't seem to fit. It
doesn't fit the flow of his thinking here.
But Hodges suggests that it does, and here's what he says. No verse in the first epistle of John is more crucial to understanding the entire epistle than this one. And then he goes on to say, quote, since this manifested Christian love, that's what John's been talking about, is nothing less than the manifestation of eternal life with the loving Christian fellowship, those who so manifest this life are living witnesses to the reality that the Son who saved them really is the Savior of the world. And then he goes on to say, in other words, the visible manifestation of eternal life through Christian love, so that this life can be seen in that love, is an enormously effective way to testify about the Saviorhood of Christ. His point is, when we see love manifested in our Christian community, we're seeing a testimony that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Mm. And his point is, John's point, which I think Hodges is right, is the only reason we're able to love one another is because Jesus is the Savior of the world.
When you see a redeemed community acting in a way that is just so different from the hatred and discord of the world around us, we know this is the work of the Savior of the world.
You see the Redeemer behind the redeemed community.
Yeah, that's right. And also, I think this is crucial to his argument, because remember, John was just so upset about false teachers preaching about a false Christ who couldn't be a savior of the world. And
right.
So, you know, Jesus as savior is just so central to this whole epistle, to transforming our minds and our behavior. All right, we're going to continue on. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God.
Okay, this is the second half, and we've seen it all the way through the epistle. There are two aspects of abiding in Christ. Number one, we need to be loving people. Number two, we need to continue in the faith. We continue to believe and to confess Christ.
So what does confession, you know, that's an older word. What does it mean nowadays?
Well, the word basically means to agree with, but ultimately I think what John is talking about is us gathering together in Christian fellowship on Sunday morning or whatever day we're worshiping. And when we do that, we are confessing Christ to the world.
We're saying, this is what we believe.
That's right.
That's what a confession is ultimately. We're saying, this is what we believe. So we're not being secret believers.
No.
We are gathering together with the faith community in a public way and identifying with Christ.
If we're a secret believer, then we're not in fellowship with God.
Right. So we're confessing. So you have to confess and you also have to love.
And by the way, verse 16 is basically wrapping up what he said in verses 7 through 14.
All right, we just have a few seconds left. Let's go there. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There's that reciprocal abiding again.
Right, and it all centers around the love of God. It doesn't start with our love for God. It starts with his love for us.
Do you know the love of God? Do you believe the love of God? Are you confessing Jesus openly? Are you loving the brethren and so being an expression of his love for the world? You need to be part of a Bible-believing church in order to do that. And if you don't have one, I strongly encourage you to go to our website, faithalone.org, and check out the church tracker and find a local Grace Church near you so that you too can be abiding in God and God abiding in you.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion on 1 John 4, 12 through 16. If you listen to the show, but you haven't gone to our website yet, you're missing out. Let me tell you about our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And the unique thing about our website is that we have all kinds of free resources waiting for you. We've got our free print magazine. It's this great full-color magazine that will show up right in your mailbox. You can subscribe to podcasts of previous episodes of this show. We have blog posts. We have videos. You can get information about upcoming events. In fact, let me tell you about a free book that we have available right now on the homepage of our website. It's called The Epistles of John. It's a short commentary written by Zane Hodges. And it is fantastic. It takes you through these short little books and gives you insight that even a radio show like this just doesn't have time for. So I'd encourage you to go to the website, get subscribed to all these things we're talking about, but also get your free copy of that commentary. It's waiting for you right there. Well, tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to look at what it means to be bold in the day of judgment. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.